Hello, did someone join?
Hi, this is Mary Rapepi.
Hi, Mary. Thanks for joining. We're going to start here in just a minute. This is Sherry Ernst. Lisa, do you want to just let us know when you're ready and then we'll do the call to order and the
Sherry, I think we can go ahead now.
Okay, sounds good. Is the stenographer on the call? Or are we doing a recording?
This is Lisa Jordan. We're having the call recorded as we have done in the last few times, so we don't actually have a court reporter, but since so many people are calling in, it will be helpful if people identify themselves each time they speak so it will be clear who is talking.
Perfect. And then we'll go ahead and go through a round of introductions just for clarity purposes. All right. We will go ahead and call this meeting to order, and I'll start off here. My name is Sherry Ernst, and I'm representing Covenant Health. And Kim, if you want to kick us off on the United side.
Ms. Christina Helblig. I am here representing Kim Maltempo for United Healthcare.
Thank you. I apologize for that misunderstanding. Okay, Heather.
Hi, this is Heather Staten. I'm representing Flint.
Okay, Pat.
Hi, this is Pat Sullivan representing Blue Chair.
Okay, Lisa.
This is Lisa Jordan. I'm the Assistant Commissioner for the TennCare Oversight Division here in the Department of Commerce and Insurance, and I sit on the panel as the Commissioner's designee.
All right, who's with you, Lisa?
It's just me today.
All right, very good. And Mary?
Hello, I'm Mary Rapepi from Covenant House, observing today.
And did someone else join the call?
Yes, my name is Catherine Lutz. I'm with Covenant Health.
Okay. And we will go ahead and start with a summary of requests for independent review. So, Lisa, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. This is Lisa Jordan, and we'll start with the independent review requests that we have received for the first six during the first 6 months of 2025. You'll see that the numbers of independent review requests that we are receiving continues to decline. We only had a total of 15 for the first 6 months of this year. I attribute that to providers really taking advantage of our separate dispute resolution process, the provider complaint process, which we'll talk about in just a minute. But we received 15 independent review requests. As you'll see on the summary and also in the detailed spreadsheet that you should have received, that approximately two-thirds of the independent review requests were either found in favor of the providers or settled for the provider. So from the provider's standpoint, this still is a valuable tool for them to have to resolve payment disputes with the MCOs. Now, looking at provider complaints for that same time frame, the first 6 months of 2025, we handled 516 total provider complaints. That's slightly more than what we processed in 2024. So the total for 2024 was 1,014 provider complaints. If the trend continues, we'll probably process more than that in 2025. I won't go over all of these individually. You can see the summary, how many was received for each MCO during this time frame. volunteer state health plan had the most provider complaints filed against it. Then WellPoint coming in with 143, and then United Healthcare at a total of 60. Now that's just for their 10 care lines of business. We receive provider complaints against Medicare Advantage and D-SNP plans. And then sometimes we get complaints that we have to refer to 10 care. Somebody has a problem that neither we nor the MCOs can resolve, so we have to refer those to 10 care. And on occasion, we get complaints against plans that have no involvement at all in the 10 care program, and we refer those to our insurance division to handle those. Again, this is, I think the reason providers want to go to provider complaints first is because it is simpler to have a provider complaint processed. And just like with the independent review requests, around two-thirds are ultimately decided in whole or in part in favor of the provider. So providers seek resolution through the provider complaint process first, and then if they remain dissatisfied, then sometimes they want to pursue independent review, which certainly makes sense. So does anyone have any particular questions about the independent reviews or the provider complaints?
This is Sherry Ernst. Just a quick question. So if on the provider complaint that it is filed and we don't believe that the plan reviewed the provider complaint in the context in which we submitted it,
mm-hmm.
is it okay to send that back through provider complaints to get clarity on the issue? Or is that something would need to take to independent review?
No, we often receive a follow-up from the provider saying we want to rebut the MCO's response, or we don't believe the MCO took all information, considered all important information in rendering its decision. We want them to take another look at it. We will ask the MCO to take that second look at it. If the provider continues to be dissatisfied, then we will say, you know what, you've exhausted your opportunity through the provider complaint process. We suggest you now go to independent review.
But we do
allow the providers to rebut the MCO's initial response to the provider complaint.
Thank you for that. That's very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are we ready to move on to the prompt pay report?
Yes. the report you have shows the results of our prompt pay testing from March 2025 through August of 2025. And during this time frame, we did have some instances of non-compliance with either the statutory prompt pay standard or the 10 care contractual standards. Volunteer state health plan for their 10 care line of business failed in May of 2025. The statutory requirement is 99.5% of all claims should be processed within 60 days of receipt, and in May, volunteer only processed 98.8% of all claims. So they did not have any other instances of noncompliance, though, after that May time frame. DentaQuest, which is 10 Care's dental benefits manager, failed the prompt pay testing in March of 2025, May of 2025, and June of 2025. We report the results of the noncompliance to the Division of Teen Care. And while we have the statutory authority to levy an administrative penalty against the managed care organizations like Volunteer State Health Plan or United for prompt pay noncompliance, the dental benefits manager, we rely on Teen Care to take action under that DBM contract. So that's up to Teen Care to decide if they want to levy any type of liquidated damages for failure to comply with prompt pay. All other MCOs were in compliance for each month, and also the pharmacy benefits manager, Optum Rx, was also in compliance with all the prompt pay standards for this period.
Very Ernst again. Lisa, does that complete that part of the agenda?
Yes, it does.
We're going to move on to new business. Mm-hmm. I do have something to ask, but does anyone else from the health plans have anything to contribute, or did someone else join the call that they have something to contribute? Okay, with that silence, I will proceed. So, Pat, this is kind of more for you. I know on the last call that we had discussed kind of some of the backlog that we were experiencing as providers with Blue Cross plans, and I did have a question, just if you could give us an update on where that backlog stands today. That's the first part. And the second part is I know that we as an organization have multiple claims that are due to be reprocessed. And one, for example, has been waiting to be reprocessed for 8.5 months. So when can we expect that backlog to be caught up?
So this is Pat with Blue Care. And as far as our inventory goes, Sherry, I think we are we're currently up to date, as Lisa said, from a new claims perspective, as well as reconsiderations. And the only other outstanding claims that we have really are corrected bills, and we had a significant amount of them, and that's actually been cut in half, and we're currently working most of those under 60 days as well. So those are, so I would say we're pretty much out of our backlog, or we really, I hate to call it a backlog because that means we're not meeting our goals, and so we have been meeting our prompt pay goals from everything that we've been doing. So we do have that. If you have a claim such as that that you mentioned that's 8.5 months old, I'd like to see that because that should have been acted upon. Most of the time when we're working things, we work them first in, first out. So unless there was some significant research that had to have been done with regard to that, if you could send me an example of that claim number just via email, I'd be more than happy to have someone take a look at it and respond back to you.
Okay, so so Mary Rapepe, again, it's a Sherry Ernst. Mary Rapepe, I believe, has sent some examples to your organization, so I think that she will have to go ahead and resend those again to you.
Okay, can she? Yes, can she send them to me, and I'll follow up.
That sounds.
And I will respond. I'll respond back to her.
Okay, and yes, I'm sorry.
Just going to say, this is Mary Rapepe. Pat, I'll be happy to do that. I do have a question, though, because you mentioned new claims and corrected claims. What about reprocessed claims on Blue Care's part, where there was an error in applying a recoupment edit and an acknowledgement of that error claim would be repaid? Are those counted in any kind of a tracked in any kind of a backlog for Blue Care?
Yeah, it would be an adjustment of a claim is what you're asking about, where we would adjust the claim.
Okay.
Yeah, we should not have a significant inventory of those either. If that's the example that you're saying, you'd be more than happy to look at those and send those to me, and I'll have someone I'll respond back to you, or I will have my director respond back to you.
Okay. Thank you.
But you have my email?
I do. I have said sent something to you in the past, but I didn't get a response, so I went in a different direction.
Okay.
They were adjusted claims, and unfortunately we had to file provider complaints in order to get them paid. But we're still experiencing extreme backlogs with reconsiderations.
So for reconsiderations, we are current with our reconsiderations. So I'm not sure if that backlogs with us or with our commercial business.
Both, I believe.
Yeah, I would, and this is Pat again. I keep forgetting we're being recorded, but we do not have any reconsiderations that are over 60 days. So, if you have some, I would be more than happy to look. I would be interested in seeing those because we currently do not have any in our inventory, and I just checked that yesterday.
This is Sherry Ernst again. Pat, you know what it may be helpful to do is reach out to Rodney Adams at the THA because I believe this is still fairly a consistent standing agenda item on the monthly provider calls, quarterly provider calls. So it may be a good outreach to him to see if others are experiencing the same thing because I hate to get on these calls and it sounds like it's a covenant game and really I think this is really a committee for the entire state.
Yeah, and this is Pat. I've had conversations with Rodney within the last month and he has not brought that up. So I will check with our contact at TennCare, Vincent Pinckney, who has a weekly or biweekly conversation with Rodney as well. And then we'll go from there.
Okay, that sounds great. We really appreciate your support in this.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So if there is no new business, Lisa, I guess we just need to set for the next meeting.
This is Lisa Jordan. I do have one thing that I would like to mention. Since our last meeting, one of our independent reviewers, John Manley, retired. John was one of our original reviewers, so he served admirably for 25 years. He definitely earned his retirement. So I wanted to let you know that currently we have 4 independent reviewers. Because of the low volume of reviews that we're receiving right now, we don't see a need to add a new reviewer on at this point, but certainly if we see a big spike in the number of independent reviews we're receiving or any of the reviewers feel like they can't handle the current load, then I will bring that back to the panel and we may need to pursue selecting somebody to take Mr. Manley's place. But right now, I don't see the need for that.
This is Sherry Ernst. Thanks for letting us know that, Lisa.
Mm-hmm. And that's all I have.
I'm sorry, I have skipped over you. Are you ready to set the next meeting date?
Yes, I'm ready. I think probably in April or May would be a good time.
Okay, this is Sherry Ernst. So with May having schools ending and maybe some Memorial Day, do we want to stick to maybe later in April?
This is Lisa. That is fine with me. I have no problem with that.
And this is Sherry again. Not being in the Nashville area or where you all are, what are the Easter holidays look like? Is it do schools take off? Are you all going to have conflicts?
As far as the state employees go, we're only off on Good Friday. I don't know what time school spring breaks, how they're scheduled. I don't have any kids in school anymore, so I don't keep up with that sort of thing. But I would think if we're looking at maybe a little bit later in the month in April, that shouldn't be an issue. So maybe the Tuesday the 21st or Tuesday the 28th of April.
This is Sherry again. I'm good with the 21st if everyone else is.
Hey, this is Christina with United. The 21st would be fine for us.
This is Sherry. At Heather, Christina.
Yeah, and this is Pat Sullivan. I'm fine with the 21st.
This is Heather. I'm fine with the 21st as well.
All right, the 21st is 1 p.m. Central Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. All right, this is Sherry Ernst again. Lisa, unless you have something else, I guess we can adjourn.
This is Lisa. I don't have anything else. Thank you all for participating.
Thank you all. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.